You guys having an okay week? Anyone had a frustrating week? My week was terrible. I don't know why. It's just been one of them rough weeks. But life isn't always terrible. Sometimes we have good moments, fun stuff. I like driving my four-wheelers, right? Super fun, especially when it's raining. You know, get all muddy. Remember, I don't know, if you weren't here, I'm not going to tell the whole story again. But if you were here when I told the story about my four-wheeler wreck, like maybe a month and a half ago, where I was driving, I wrecked really bad. I don't even remember that day. If you're here, kind of nod your head to show me you remember. Okay, good, you remember that. So I was at my in-law's house, and my sister-in-law, Jen, was there, and she was telling me that after this wreck happened, she was thinking, finally, a wreck so bad that Jeff will realize he's not invincible. The only problem is he doesn't remember it, you know, like... you know, that's okay. I mean, life is fun, and life, it's okay to enjoy life. I think too often we come to churches, and it's like, we're going to play the organ dirge before we start offering and worship. Na, 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 welcome to church. You know, you're like, I knew I shouldn't have come here. You know, but, I mean, so life is enjoyable. We don't want to give the impression life's not enjoyable. I had some friends, there was four friends of mine back in high school who were, they were like 16, 17. They were more like acquaintances than friends, really. But they were driving on some of these old gravel roads. They stopped at one of my buddy's houses and said, hey, do you want to drive around with us? We're just going having a good time. And he said, no, he couldn't make it. And they were driving. They came over one of these gravel hills. And they're like starting to jump these hills and whatnot on this road. And they came over one, and a van was coming. And they came over and smack, hit the van. All four of them died right there. My friend, who said he didn't want to drive with them, came with his family just a minute after the wreck, and they found him. Everybody in the car was dead except the driver, who was choking to death, and he died. See, life is not a game. Life is a matter of eternal consequences, right? What we do right now determines eternity. I mean, the choices we make right now will affect us forever. Now, don't get me wrong. I want you to enjoy your life. I want to enjoy life. I don't want to just throw away my four-wheeler. I don't want to turn my frown into a permanent tattoo. This is not what life is about. Enjoyment is a good thing. But when enjoyment in life becomes the goal, rather than something that happens along the way, well, now that's a problem. When tragedy strikes, we're reminded that, you know, rolling the dice in life is not a game, because sometimes the dice don't roll in your favor. And when that happens, you realize really quick, life's not a game, don't you? I mean, it's easy to be going along having fun until something like that kind of wakes you up. If you were here last week, you know what this is all about. If you weren't here last week, we use this to cut someone's arm off. I'm just kidding. No, this was representative of God's plan. And we said, what happens when you get in the way of God's plan? Bad things happen, right? Like, God is immovable. You can't change God. And we were looking at Israel, and they were going to attack a country, Jericho, a city country called Jericho. And they said, Jesus appeared, and Joshua said, are you on our side of Israel, or are you on their side? And what did he say? Neither. He said, I'm not on your side or their side. We realize God's not on anyone's side. God has his own plan. Now, God was inviting Israel to come along. God was inviting Jericho to come along. Israel agreed, Jericho did not. And because Jericho did not agree, right? And then Israel became the tool to do that to Jericho. So what we're talking about today is a word we don't like to use. It's the S word. S-I-N. Sin. It's what it's called when we get in the way of God's plan, or when God's plan's going this way and we're slightly off of God's plan. When we're not doing what God called us to do, this is sin. And we're going to see today the consequences of not following God's plan. I mean, last week we saw real briefly that, you know, the consequences is pretty dire, pretty bad. But today we're going to really look. So what happens? Let's say we don't follow God's plan. Let's say Israel didn't do what God wanted. What would happen to them? So we're going to talk about sin, and I know, but come on, don't shut it out, because I know this is an uncomfortable topic. I don't like preaching about it. I don't like talking about it. Unfortunately, I'm a preacher, and preachers sometimes have to talk about the S word, okay? Yeah. Don't stop listening if you start feeling guilty, because you want to hear the end, I promise, okay? It's going to get a little, maybe you might squirm a little bit, I'll admit, you might. Maybe not, I don't know. Maybe you're perfect. Maybe you're Jesus, if you're here tonight, I don't know. But, I don't think you are Jesus. I pick on him every week, so I have to do that. But what we're going to do today is we're going to read in Joshua chapter 6, 7, and 8. And we're going to start with this victory that Israel took over Jericho. Okay, so they fight this battle. They go to war. And after the war, this is a huge victory. Let's turn in your Bibles if you have it. I have the wrong Bible, so I'm going to have to find it myself. And we all know how that goes. Just kidding. Joshua chapter 6, verses 20 to 21. It's on page 161 in your Bibles in front of your chairs. We're going to also read verse 27. This is what happens after Israel attacked Jericho. When the trumpet sounded, the people shouted, and at the sound of the trumpet, when the people gave a loud shout, the wall around Jericho collapsed. So every man charged straight in, and they took the city. They devoted the city to the Lord and destroyed with the sword every living thing in it. Men, women, young and old, cattle, sheep, and donkeys. Not the donkeys. Joshua said to the... we're going to skip down to verse 27 now. So the Lord was with Joshua, and his fame spread throughout the land. So what we have here is a huge victory, right? I mean, Jericho was a walled city. It was impenetrable. Israel didn't have siege weapons. They just had bow and arrows. I mean, there was no way to take over this city. So God told them to march around it 7 times over the course of 7 days. On the 7th day, they were marching around it 7 more times. Then the walls just, boom, fall down. They rush in and destroy the city. God had a plan. He invited them to come along. They agreed. And what happened? Victory. Right? I mean, when you follow God's plan, you win. I mean, God said, do it this way. They did it this way. And boom. Now God had laid down some ground rules about how to do this. So look at verse 18 in chapter 6. These were the ground rules that God had laid down, 18 and 19. But keep away from the devoted things. This is after they get inside the city, God's saying, keep away from the devoted things so that you will not bring about your own destruction by taking any of them. Otherwise, you will make the camp of Israel liable to destruction and bring trouble on it. All the silver and the gold and the articles of bronze and iron are sacred to the Lord and must go into his treasury. Okay, so God's saying, look, I have a plan. I'm inviting you to come along. I want you to attack Jericho. I want you to do it in this manner. I want you to follow these specific patterns. And if they come and they do those specific patterns, if they follow it just right, God's going to say, all right, you're doing it my way. You're going to win. And they did it. They did it just right. And they win. Now God had told them, once you get inside, make sure you don't take any of the devoted things, the gold, the silver, the iron. That is supposed to go to the treasury of the Lord, okay? They weren't supposed to touch it. They weren't supposed to take it. Problem. Someone broke the rule. This is where we get into chapter 7. Check this out. Look at chapter 7, verse number 1. But the Israelites acted unfaithfully in regard to the devoted things. Achan, son of Carmi, the son of Zinri, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, took some of them. So the Lord's anger burned against Israel. Achan! You see, God had a plan. He invited Achan to come along, but no. Achan starts to go along, doesn't he? Right? He's like, okay, I'm going to do it God's way, because God said if I do it this way, we'll win. So he goes in, he follows all the rules about walking the right way, carrying the Ark of the Covenant, not yelling until the trumpets sound, then screaming really loud, the walls fall down, he rushes in, he's like, I followed God's way, I was doing it God's way, and we won, and we won, and we won, and we, there's gold right there. And all of a sudden, God's way, don't take the gold, doesn't sound so good anymore, does it? I mean, it's really easy to follow God's way as long as God's like, if you follow my way, you're going to win. Well, like, shoot, heck yeah, man. If I'm going to win, I'll go your way, right? So I'm going God's way. Achan's going God's way. He comes up, he sees the gold, and all of a sudden, look at your outline. Achan was not content with God's plan. Like something little just came inside, and all of a sudden, winning wasn't good enough. All of a sudden, God's plan wasn't quite good enough. There's a little gold, a little silver. Uh-oh. You know, Achan probably rationalized this, don't you think? I mean, it's just something little. I mean, out of all the riches of Jericho, it's just like a little handful. It's not a big deal. Right? This is what we do with our sin, okay? We trivialize it. We justify it. We play it off. We pretend like our sin is not really going against the will of God, but we act like our sin is really just like a millimeter to the side of God's plan. Like a momentary detour instead of changing and getting in front of God's plan. Adam and Eve, we're in the Garden of Eden. God says what? You can eat of any of the plants and trees in this garden except that one. What do? This one? Oh, it looks good though. Like my 2-year-old. I could fill a house with a billion toys and I could put cat poop on the floor. And so you can play with anything except the cat poop. And they'd be like, but the cat poop looks awesome. You know what I mean? It's sin. It's saying, this is the way to go. There's only a few things you can't do. And those are the things we want to do. So Adam and Eve, it's like, well, it's just one apple. I mean, it's not that big of a deal. Achan says, it's just a little gold. I mean, it's just a tiny bit. My kids are like, it's just a little cat poop. It's not going to taste that bad. I'm not saying it happened, but I'm not saying it didn't happen. And you're saying, it's just a picture of a naked lady online. It's just a picture. Who cares, right? You're saying, well, look, over here, this thing I do, it's just a little self-indulgent. No one's gonna get down on me for indulging myself in such and such area, just a little bit. You're saying, look, I'm just downloading this music that I wouldn't buy anyway, so they're not losing any money. Right? I mean, you're saying those companies are way too rich anyway, so it's my American duty to take them down. You're saying, well, I know there's a good thing over here I should do. I know I should do this right thing, but I don't have the time. We're trivializing it. We say, I know I should give financially to God a little bit more, but I don't because of selfishness. We say, I know I should forgive this person, but you don't because of lack of love. Our little tiny trivial issues that we justify and we think make us just a little bit off of God's perfect track are really putting us in danger. I do not know what your issue is, but I bet you do. God has a plan. He's inviting you to come along, and we want to convince ourselves that we're following God's plan. So we trivialize our deviations and we say, it's just a little bit. Nobody will know. It doesn't hurt anyone. And out of all the riches of Jericho, Achan only took a little handful, but there are consequences for taking a little handful. See, after Joshua found out what Achan had done, look at chapter 7, verse 25. Joshua said, why have you brought trouble on us? The Lord will bring trouble on you today. Then all Israel stoned him. Consequence of sin on your outlines. Consequence of sin, Achan was punished by death. I mean, Israel was a nation. They had the right to punish people by death. I'm not saying we should do that here at the church. But there is a consequence for Achan's sin. I mean, who did it hurt? Achan could say. He's picking up the gold. It's not going to hurt anyone if I just take a little gold, but it cost him his life. And look on your outlines. The consequence of my sin? personal punishment and death. I mean, God says, the price we pay for sin is our death. The wages of sin is death, Romans 3:23. We can say, fair enough, Achan pays for his own sin. Sin is serious business, even if we can pretend to justify it. Achan knew the deal. Achan knew that God said don't take it, but he took it anyway, so he probably deserved to die. Achan, you idiot. Because we're all self-righteous, we can say that. And so, you know, we're mad at Achan. We can say, you know, that you deserve it, whatever, fair enough. But that's not all. You see, sin is serious business, people. Look at Joshua 7:24-26. Then Joshua, together with all Israel, took Achan, son of Zerah, the silver robe, the gold wedge, and his sons and daughters, his cattle, donkeys, and sheep, his tent, and all that he had to the valley of Achor. Joshua said, why have you brought this trouble on us? The Lord will bring trouble on you today. Then Israel stoned him, and after they stoned the rest, they burned them. What? After Israel stoned Achan, they stoned his family and his donkey. And the donkeys are just taking it, you know? But here's the deal. Like, sin is serious. Do you think Achan, when he's taking that little gold, thought, you know, me taking this gold is probably going to get my son killed? Do you think he thought that? No. Look at the outline. Consequence of sin. Achan's family was punished by death. The next line, consequence of my sin, my family and those close to me are affected. So those were the consequences for Achan after he got caught. His family died. And we think that our sin doesn't affect anyone. I'm not going to go into all the potentials of how it could, should, might, would, possibly, in a way, maybe hurt your family. But know this, we're learning a principle from this story. No sin is just a drop in an ocean that doesn't affect anything else. Every drop in the ocean ripples a little bit, even a little one. So these were his consequences. And this was all after he got caught. Did you know that there were consequences to Achan's sin before he got caught? Look at this. This is Joshua 7:4-5. Turn back a little bit. This can be page 161, verses 4 and 5. What's happening is Israel, they beat Jericho. They're on a high. They know the next city to attack is a city called Ai. So they're going to attack Ai. And they get up there, and this is what happens in verse 4. So about 3,000 men went up, but they were routed by the men of Ai, who killed about 36 of them. They chased the Israelites from the city gate as far as the stone quarries and struck them down on the slopes. At this, the hearts of the people, the Israelites, melted and became like water. Now the Israelites are freaking out, aren't they? Holy stinking smokes. You know, whatever they said back then, I don't know. I doubt it was stinking smokes. But these are the consequences. Achan sins. Israel, the nation, comes up and they lose a battle. And people die. Achan hasn't even gotten caught yet. Look at the outlines. Consequence of sin, Israel's soldiers were killed. Achan probably wasn't even friends with these guys. He probably didn't even know them. I mean, there was 3,000 guys who went up there. And that's just one small group. Israel had like over 40,000 soldiers. Achan probably didn't know any of these guys who were killed. He probably just heard it. They only took 3,000 guys. Achan's probably sitting at home with his gold and he hears, hey, they lost the battle. 37 guys died. And he's like, oh my gosh, I can't believe that happened. What happened? Why is this happening? Here's the next thing. Consequence of my sin. People I don't even know are affected. I mean, who knows how? I don't know. I mean, you know, you look at pornography, okay? You're sitting in a dark room. No one knows. No one knows you're looking. No one's ever going to find out. You're going on that website. You're getting hits. It becomes popular. That girl is a real person. She's now making money because people go to her website. And now she wants to get out of that lifestyle because she realizes it's not a good lifestyle. She wants to leave, but there's a problem. She has kids. She makes plenty of money doing this. She can't leave. She won't make enough money elsewhere. Who knows how we contribute to the people that we don't even know? I mean, downloading files, how would that hurt someone else, really? I mean, I don't know. Maybe instead of downloading stuff that you shouldn't be downloading online, maybe God wanted you outside. Maybe if you had gotten off your computer, you would have said, it's a nice day, I'm going to take a walk. And you go take a walk, and you run into someone who you haven't seen for years, and they say, what are you doing now? You say, I'm going to a church. And they start coming to the church, they get saved. Now they're going to heaven instead of hell, and that happened because you chose to follow God's plan instead of doing something you shouldn't be doing. I mean, I don't know, I'm just making it up. I understand that. I'm just saying, here's one of a billion possibilities. All we know is that the consequence of my sin is that people I don't even know are affected. That's the point. We don't know how it's affecting people, but it does. Look at Joshua 7:1. The Israelites acted unfaithfully in regard to the devoted things. What's that say? Does that say Achan alone acted unfaithful? No. It says the Israelites acted unfaithfully in regard to the devoted things. Achan took some of them. You see what's going on here? God says, Achan took the stuff. Israel is guilty. Look at the outline. Consequence of sin. Achan's community, Israel, experienced God's anger and lost a battle. Wow. Why would this be? Why would God take it out on Israel for Achan doing something wrong? That's not fair. A guy named Adam Clark, he's a theologian, he writes this. This was done to render every man extremely cautious and to make the people watchful over each other that sin might be nowhere tolerated or connived at, as one transgression might bring down the wrath of God upon the whole camp. You know, that's possible. That's one possible explanation, that God, you know, took this out on Israel to show everybody, hey, you got to watch out, make sure he's not, each other's aren't sinning. That's one possible explanation. God is trying to show the seriousness of sin. I think it goes back to the nature of humanity. God did not create Adam. Help me out here. God created Adam and... That's right. When God created Adam, he saw man, he looked at man alone, and he said, it is not good for man to be alone. But you know, he wasn't talking about wives necessarily or husbands, he's talking about community. When Jesus sends the disciples out to do work, he never, ever sends them out alone, he always sends them out in pairs or in groups. Why? Because God cares about community. When the apostles brought the gospel, the news about Jesus Christ to new cities, they never ever made individual converts, they made churches. Groups of converts, communities of people who believed. When God wanted to show his power, he didn't just say, zap, Jericho's destroyed. He said, nation of Israel, this community, I want to use you to do my will. God loves community. God created us for community. So one sin, one person, never alone, always part of a community. Are you understanding? If you're trying to do the God thing by yourself, I can tell you right now, you're probably having a hard time. Because God didn't create you to do it by yourself. God created you to do it with other people. God created you to have faith alongside other people. And people are quick to jump on leaders. You know, we don't really do it at this church. I thank you. I'm glad for that. I think because everybody knows I mess up every day. So people are quick to jump on leaders and say, oh, the pastor in the church sinned. The pastor sinned. You know, blah, blah, blah. You know, it's in the news. Whenever like some big famous pastor sins, it's in the news. And then they fire him. And then they spit on him. And, you know, and everyone's like, oh, it's so bad. But let me ask you this question. Who was Achan? Was he a leader? Nope. He was just some guy. Consequence of my sin on your outline. My community, my church is affected. We work together, and in the eyes of God, we are a community, not a collection of individuals. Did you hear that? In the eyes of God, we are a community, not just a bunch of individuals. Hard to get our minds around this. In our culture. Because we love our individuality, you know? We do. But Christians are not individuals. They're part of something bigger. Part of a community that God sees as a whole. And one sin affects the community. Those of you who have issues and anger and hate or mistrust of other people in this community are guilty of some of the greatest sins. Why? Because you're bringing divisiveness. But anyone who does wrong is leading part of the community astray. Now look, God has a plan. And he's inviting you to come along. And it's a good plan. Sometimes it's difficult, I'll give you that. I mean, could you imagine being Achan, you know, fighting a battle, you know, doing sweating and bleeding. You get up, you see some gold, and then, no, don't touch. I mean, that's hard. It's difficult. I'll give you that. God's plan is difficult, but it's always good. And when we leave God's plan and we go out on our own track, we miss out. Our sin screws things up for ourselves or for other people. God is serious and sin is devastating. We cannot tolerate it in our lives any longer. Often we complain to God, God, why did you do this? When we run into problems. Well, let me suggest one answer. He didn't. You did. Someone's greedy. They go and buy a car too expensive. And they go broke. God, why did you make me go broke? God didn't make you go broke. You were greedy. You made yourself go broke. God, why did you let my wife leave me? He didn't make that happen. You were a donkey. God didn't make those things happen. You made them happen. It's sin. As my pastor friend likes to say, sin splatters. It's messy. It's gooey. It gets everywhere. It's not just like a little thing you do and it's done with. You know, what we do is we open the door and we invite just a little bitty wrong in the door. You know, there's one little tiny thing. And then all of a sudden, this little tiny weed grew into a thistle patch. And now no matter where we step, it hurts. The cause of the disaster with Israel losing the battle to Ai was not God. Israel, the community, had done wrong. Sometimes, not always, but sometimes we experience disaster and problems because sin walked into our lives, and instead of kicking it out, we opened the door, welcomed it in, got it a cup of water, and started cuddling. Right? God has a plan. He invites you to come along, and when we don't go with that plan, we experience trouble, either now or later. Not always now. I know some people who are steeped in stuff they shouldn't be doing, and they're living high. But someday it's all going to crumble in around them. Enron, right? You know what I'm saying? So Israel has experienced some serious consequences for Achan's sin. And we know that they will punish Achan and his family by death. But let's see what happens when they finally found out this was Achan, okay? God does something kind of miraculous here to show who it was. It's neat. Look at chapter 7, verse 16. We're going to read the 21. Early in the next morning, Joshua had Israel come forward by tribes. Okay? Israel's divided into 12 tribes. And the tribe of Judah was taken. The clans of Judah came forward. And he took the Zerahites. He had the clan of the Zerahites come forward by families. And Zimri was taken. Joshua had his family come forward man by man. And Achan, son of Carmi, was taken. Then Joshua said to Achan, by the way, can you imagine this? Joshua stands up and he says, someone in our community sinned. I'm going to find out who it is. And you're Achan among these millions of people. And you're like, well, this might be bad. And out of the 12 tribes, Joshua says, tribe of Judah, come here. And you're like, oh, crap. And out of all the clans, he says, your clan, come here. I'm like, that's not good. Then out of all the families in the clan, he picks your family. Now it's like you and like 8 other people. I'm like, crap. We went from like millions to like 8 in like 3 steps. And then he looks at you and says, Achan, now what do? Easy. You crap yourself. You go, no, right? You're like, oh, man, oh, you know. And then look, okay, 19. Then Joshua said to Achan, my son, give glory to the Lord, the God of Israel, and give him the praise. Tell me what you have done. Do not hide it from me. Achan replied, it is true. I have sinned against the Lord, the God of Israel. This is what I've done. When I saw the plunder, a beautiful robe from Babylonia, 200 shekels. I love how he says it's beautiful. Like, I don't know if he's just trying to, you know, justify it or if he's still enthralled with it. He's like, well, I just saw this beautiful robe. Like, Joshua, if you would have saw it, you would have took it, dude. I'm totally serious. Or anyway, this beautiful robe from Babylon, 200 shekels of silver and a wedge of gold weighing 50 shekels. I coveted them and took them. They are hidden in the ground inside my tent with the silver underneath. God had a plan. He invited Achan along, but Achan said no. Now, there's a time to mourn sin, and there's a time to take action. Too many people at this point would spend too much time saying, oh, I did wrong. I'm so bad. I'm so, oh, God, I'm so sorry. Ah, you know, ripping the robes and stubbing their feet on purpose because they're weird and like just feeling really sorry for themselves and or saying, why would God allow this? You know, why, God, why? And they do this instead of moving to change. When we're blatantly sinning and then wondering why we aren't on the same path as God, you know what that's like? It's like going to a weight loss seminar, weighing in, eating a candy bar, going, I just don't get it. Right? But Joshua wastes no time. Look at verse 19. Then Joshua said to Achan, my son, give glory to the Lord, the God of Israel, and give him praise. Tell me what you have done. Right there. Tell me what you've done. Like, come on, Joshua. You started with millions of people. Now you've narrowed it down to one person by a miraculous act of God. And now you're like, come on, tell me what you did. I think you know it was him. Right? Why is he doing this? Confession. Healing can never take place until confession occurs. At our church a few years ago, we caught someone stealing money. We noticed money was disappearing, disappearing, disappearing. So we put in a hidden camera. Caught the guy. Red-handed. I asked him to come into my office. I played the video. You see him walk in the office, open the money jar, take the money, close it, put it back, and walk away. We had counted the money an hour before it happened. And 20 minutes after it happened. The difference in the money. Well, there was a difference. I showed him the video of him walking in doing this. And I said, why did you do this? And he said, that's not me. Well, that caught me a little off guard. I said, well, what? He said, that's not me. I was like, did you see the video of you? Yeah, I saw it. You took it! No, that wasn't me. Eventually he admitted, well, yeah, that was me, but I didn't take the money. What? You see what's happening here? We prefer to hide and trivialize and deny our sin, don't we? Especially when we get caught, because it's embarrassing. Healing cannot take place without confession. Even though I had caught him red-handed, healing couldn't take place until he said, yeah, that was me and I took the money, could it? Like, we couldn't say, I forgive you, let's just move on, until he said, yeah, I did it. Because if you say, no, that wasn't me, I can't go, oh, well, that wasn't you? Well, then I forgive you. Forgive me for what? I didn't take it. Healing can't take place without confession. So confession comes, and in addition, they killed Achan and his family. Now, this is interesting, because okay, this happens just really quickly. Well, here, this is a question that we're coming to. Let's throw the question on the screen if we can. Well, how do I keep from being sent? Oh, that's the wrong question anyway. The question is, did God approve of the stoning of Achan and his family? I can't tell you 100% whether God approved of it or not. I think I would prefer to say that maybe as a nation they had some other consequence and then they did what they were supposed to do with the gold. I don't know. I can't say for sure. But I can tell you this. God didn't hold the Israel guilty for stoning Achan and his family because they were a nation, and the nation has laws. And Achan broke those laws, so he had to face the consequence of breaking the law. Now, our church community, someone steals something from here, we're not going to stone you, okay? I mean, we can't do that. We wouldn't do it anyway. We're all about forgiveness here. But they not only stoned him and his family, what'd they do? They got rid of the gold, they got rid of the silver, they got rid of the robe, they got rid of it all. They burned it. You know what this is called? Repentance. Look in your outlines. Repentance is confessing of your sin, changing of your mind, and a change in your behavior. Confessing your sin, you know, saying, this is what I've done. Changing of your mind, meaning get to know God's rules. Rethink, what was God's way? What was God's plan? You know, and where did I get off the path that God was going on? And that's changing your mind, you know, renewing your mind, like Romans 12 talks about. And then a change in your behavior. Get rid of that crap that you're dealing with. It's called repentance. Israel did it. They confessed their sin. God, we're sorry. Please have mercy on us. Joshua did this. They changed their mind. Wait, instead of saying, God, why are you doing this? They said, God, we want to know your will. We want to do it your way. And then it changed your behavior. Instead of just taking the gold and going, well, that was an unfortunate incident, but now we have the gold. They got rid of it. They changed. And what happens when we repent? Well, look at chapter 8, verse 1. This is what happened to Israel. Then the Lord said to Joshua, do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Take the whole army with you and go up and attack Ai, for I have delivered them into your hands, the king of Ai, his people, his city, and his land. All right. So let's look at our outlines. Repentance. Israel is again aligning themselves with God's plan. You see what's happening? They had gotten off track. God had a plan. He invited them to come along. They were doing it. They got off track. Things got screwed up, and now they're realigning themselves with what God wants to do. They're refocusing. If you want to know more about this realignment thing, you need to listen to the sermon from last week. They're realigning with God's plan. They're going to go into a whole other battle, back where they should be, fighting the way God wants them to fight and winning. Repentance on your outlines. I can realign myself with God's plan. This week I've talked with multiple people who have failed. They have sinned. They have done what they shouldn't do. They feel bad. They feel horrible. But you know what? There's a time to mourn, but then there's a time to realign. What is God doing? And how do I get back into his plan? Look at Joshua 8:2. God is talking. You shall do to Ai and its king as you did to Jericho and its king, except that you may carry off the plunder and livestock for yourselves. Set an ambush behind the city. Oh man, this is crazy. So God says, okay, now you're going to attack Ai, set an ambush behind the city. You're going to win the battle, except this time you can take the plunder. Look at your outline. After repentance, Israel is rewarded richly. Man, they're rewarded with something they couldn't even do in the first place. They got in trouble for taking stuff. They confessed their sin, they repented, and now God says, okay, you know what? You're back on my track. You know what we're going to do this time? This time, I'm going to let you take the stuff. Isn't that just like God? I mean, he has mercy. He not only forgives their sin, but now he's like, you know what? I'm not only going to forgive it. Go ahead and have fun. You know, like, I mean, he's saying, go for it. Joshua 8:24-27. Look at this, man. Verse 24 to 27. When Israel had finished killing all the men of Ai in the fields and in the desert where they had been chasing them, when every one of them had been put to the sword and all the Israelites turned to Ai and killed those who were in it, 12,000 men and women fell that day, all the people of Ai, so they totally won the battle. For Joshua did not draw back the hand that held out his javelin until he had destroyed all those who lived in Ai. But Israel carried off for themselves the livestock and plunder of this city, as the Lord had instructed Joshua. Israel wins the battle, they get the plunder, and poor Achan! Man! If he had just waited one more battle, what would have happened? Instead of sneaking off with a handful of gold going, oh, I hope I don't get caught. Tribe of Judah, report to Joshua's office. Oh, crap. You know? Instead of all this, he would have been able to walk in, take what he wants, and walk away saying, I love God's plan. Right? Life is not a game. There's eternal consequences. I mean, what we do now determines our eternity. What Achan did determined something in a huge way. And look at your outlines. After repentance, I will be richly rewarded at some point. No, I have to put in at some point because I don't know when. You might be rewarded for your repentance and pursuit of God right now. You might be rewarded tomorrow. You may not be rewarded until the next life. But I can tell you this, life is not a game. It's a matter of eternal consequences. What you do now determines your eternity. If you're sinning now, that determines something about your eternity. If you're repenting now, that determines something too, doesn't it? Let me ask. What sin is in your life that needs to be cut out? What's derailing you from following God's plan? What are the good things that you should be doing that you're not? Those things are what stops God's best for us. You understand? Look at Romans 2. It says this. To those who by persistence in doing good seek glory, honor, and immortality, He, God, will give eternal life. But for those who are self-seeking and who reject the truth and follow evil, there will be wrath and anger. By persistence in doing what you want. What? No, what? By persistence in doing good. That will bring eternal life. Following God's plan and following it with persistence. Continually doing it. Cutting sin out. Doing right. Aligning yourself with God's plan for your life. Find out what God is doing and do that. Psalm 103 says this. You know, because sometimes we mess up. I know that. We do screw up. But look at Psalm 103. This is awesome. If we repent, for as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is His love for those who fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far as He removed our transgression from us. You've done wrong. I've done wrong. We've all sinned. I know we've just talked about it for a really long time. So we all feel really crappy. Thanks, Jeff. You're a great preacher. Jerk. You know? But this is the truth. It doesn't stop at sin. It goes to Romans, which says, don't just sin and feel bad. You know, repent, do good. But when you do wrong, God will remove your sin as far as the east is from the west. Here's the deal. I want you to go east and just keep going east until you've gone so far you start going west. I'm going to go west so far that I'll keep going west until I go east. We'll stop at that point and then we'll measure, okay? Little problem, right? I mean, the point is, God removes our sin infinitely far apart. If you go west and I go east and we don't stop, it's not. You can't go east so far that you go west. You just keep going east. I know what you're thinking. We're not going to go around the world and go, boom, boom. Okay? I saw some people who on a calculator. Well, the earth is 8,000 miles around. Sin. No, just kidding. You get the point? God wants to remove the sin. God wants to take it off of you and just get rid of it. I mean, His love is so great. As far as the heavens are above the earth, as far as the east is from the west, that's how far God wants to take your sin away. Let me rephrase this in Revolution style. No matter how bad you've messed up, no matter how many donkeys deserve to die, God wants to take your sin and just obliterate it. He wants to destroy it. He wants to take it and say, I am God, I remember everything, but I don't remember your sin. That's what God wants to say. Look at your outlines. Sin is serious stuff, but forgiveness is serious stuff too. Life is not a game. It's a matter of eternal consequences. And the good news is that we don't have to face eternal consequences. We can face eternal joy, happiness. Because God forgives us. Sin can kill you. It can kill your family. It can kill your community. But God can redeem you. God can help you. God can change your family. God can redeem your community. There's an amazing story. Last thing I want to say, really. Before we get there, one of the questions says, Did I forget part of the notes? What's it say? Let's throw it on the screen if I forgot it. Do you remember what I got? What's it say? Oh, yeah, you know what? I skipped over that because there wasn't enough time. It's about rewards. Let's just forget about that right now, though, okay? You want to hear about rewards? Is that what you're saying? All right, give me an outline. I want to see it for sure. I'm sorry. If you're a visitor, this only happens like twice a week. Achan lost rewards that could have been his. Remember, he went to the city of Ai, and he could have had those rewards, but he sinned, so he lost them. Consequence of my sin, I could lose something important for my life. I don't remember what that one was. God's best for my life. I'm sure you're all like cut to the heart right now. That was so deep. Our projection guy's a really good preacher. There's a question that says, how do you deal with sin at Revolution? We deal with sin in the way that Jesus suggests dealing with sin in the New Testament. Peter asked him, how many times should we forgive someone? Jesus said, you forgive not seven times, but 70 times seven, meaning a lot, on and on and on and on. Jesus said that if someone sins against you, you gossip about them as much as possible, and you get really mad at them. And if it really comes down to it, you post pictures of them on Facebook. I'm just kidding. Jesus didn't say that. Because there wasn't Facebook back then. It was just MySpace. It was horrible. Now, Jesus said, if someone sins against you, you go to them and you say, hey, man, you sinned against me. And if they repent, you forgive them. If they don't repent, you come with one or two other people and you say, hey, I just want them here so they know I'm confronting you. You sinned against me. And if they repent, you forgive them. And if they don't, then you bring the church. And the church comes and we say, look, man, you sinned. And if they repent, we forgive them. And if you don't, then the Bible says you treat them as a tax collector. Meaning that you don't let them be part of your community, but you still tell them that forgiveness is available. See here, cool story. Israel, after all this had happened, we're going to go hundreds of years in the future, from then in the future. Israel later does wrong and are attacked and they lose, and God sends locusts to swarm over Israel, and locusts swarm over and they eat everything. I mean, Israel sinned and they lost their crops, they lost their livelihood, they lost everything. Israel is in ruins. But because God loves them, he sends a prophet to say this. Look at Joel 2:13. God says, we have that Joel 2:13. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and abounding in love. And he relents from sending calamity. He says, return to the Lord your God. What does that mean when God says return? Does that mean God left them? No, it means they left God. God had a plan, and they deviated from it. And God is saying, return to me. Return to God, because he's gracious. He's compassionate. You see him when you're sinning as a sharp tool that will hurt and harm you. But when you're doing God's plan, you see it as a tool used for purposes at, like, building homes. No? You see the difference? See what I'm saying? This can cause pain, or can create art. Depends what side you're on, right? God's compassionate, slow to anger. And so even while Israel's under punishment, while these locusts are attacking, God says this. And when finally Israel does repent and they turn around, they come to God. You know what God says? This is so beautiful. Joel 2:25 says this. I will repay you for the years the locusts have eaten. Great locusts and the young locusts and other locusts and the locust swarm, my great army that I sent among you. you will have plenty to eat until you are full, and you will praise the name of the Lord your God who has worked wonders among you. I love this. God sends locusts to punish them for their sin. But then God says, when you repent, I will repay you for the years the locusts have eaten. Your sin has caused immeasurable damage and suffering. Some of it you're aware of, some of it you're not aware of. But God can restore that. He can restore the years the locusts have taken. Look at your outlines. God can restore the years sin has robbed from us. Sin caused Israel to lose crops, but because they turned back, listen, because Israel turned back after they lost those crops because of their sin, God doesn't just say, okay, you come back, now I'm going to go ahead and give you crops again. God says, you come back, I'm going to give you crops, I'm going to give you so many crops, it's going to make up for the years you missed crops. God repays for the time that they lost because of sin. Sin has caused all sorts of damage. You know, God's love is so great. I have a friend who was a sinner. He was dealing drugs. He was doing drugs. He was sleeping around. I mean, he was just doing all sorts of stuff he shouldn't be doing his whole life. In his 20s, he got saved. He turned. He decided to give his life to God. And within a few years, this dude knew the Bible so well, he could put me to shame. How is this possible? Because God restored the years the locusts have eaten. Because God is compassionate. Anyone who turns to God wholeheartedly will be restored. And Jesus was the one who does the restoring. Someone had to pay the price. And if we repent, it's not us. So Jesus paid the price. He is beat, stabbed, nailed, and punched for our sin. The cross, once a symbol of shame and punishment, is now a symbol of freedom. Only repent. Repent and align yourself with God's plan. Life is not a game. It's a matter of eternal consequences. What we do now determines our eternity. Father in heaven, God, we sin, but we don't want to. God, I pray that you would just rip that sin out of us, God. We repent. God, we need you. Take just a moment and pray to God. And if you got sin that you need to give to God, just do that right now.